Taylor Wilcox once said, "There is no chance, no destiny, no fate that can circumvent or hinder or control the firm resolve of a determined soul." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. The objective of our program is to discuss with you, our listeners, thought-provoking and meaningful topics based on the Bible. This is a call-in format. We're caller-friendly, and we certainly look forward to hearing your point of view. For those of you who may be listening for the first time, our perspective is this. We believe that there is one God. Through him, there's one truth which is found in the Bible. Our purpose is to stir your thinking up along with ours as we continually search for clarity and understanding this one truth.
While we are not here to teach, we are here to seriously provoke your thinking according to Hebrews 10:24, which is the theme for our program. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. This provoking is encouraged by Isaiah 1:18, "Come now and let us reason together." And we look to frame our comments in the context of 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 and 21. "Quench not the Spirit, prove all things, hold fast that which is good." And the only end result we seek to accomplish is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God our Father and Jesus our Lord.
And if you'd like to contact us or suggest a topic for a future program, and win a Christian Questions travel mug, this is what you do.
You write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320, or check us out on the web at www.christianquestions.net.
And if you do have a Christian question or want to reopen a previously aired topic, give us a call, let us know, and we will see what we can do. So on behalf of the returned Jonathan, my co-host.
Good morning, Rick.
And Fred, the guy behind the board. I took his microphone. We want to welcome you to this hour of our program. And Jonathan, first thing is we weren't here last week.
No, we weren't.
Where were you?
We were in Litchfield County at a Bible camp.
And we had a really good time.
We sure did.
As a matter of fact, what we did is we brought the Bible camp with us almost. Folks, if you could see this place, you would not believe it. There are 21 people in this little studio right here at WSUB. And most are kids from the Bible camp we were at. They're generally ages 9 through 16 or 17. So, you know what? Back that microphone up a little bit just for a second. Now, I want you to hear this, folks, so listen to this. Good morning, campers!
Good morning, Brother Rick!
Unbelievable. The amazing thing to me...
What's that?
...is that they're all up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
That is amazing.
That's the amazing, because getting them up at camp wasn't that easy. Not at 6 o'clock, that's
and
for sure.
And on a rainy morning.
That's right. So, Jonathan, they are here with us. We are going to be having a great discussion, a recap of what we talked about at the Bible camp. So let's get right into that. What's the question of the day?
All right, our question is, so what kind of guy was Joseph? And our theme text is found in Genesis 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was in the house of his Egyptian master.
And Jonathan, the average person is inspired by a good example. We love to look at that special individual who sets the bar higher or who strives further or who gives more fully or who rises above circumstances to not only overcome but to lead others as well. The Joseph of the Old Testament was such a man. The scriptural account of his life is an inspirational story of faith, fortitude, and integrity. This morning, we're going to take some time and talk about Joseph, God's wise ruler, and see if we can find out what made him that way. So again, the question, what kind of man was Joseph? That's the only question we're going to be talking about this morning. We've got all these kids who just can't wait to talk into the microphone.
Wait a minute. Some of them are leaving. What did you say?
Come back. Yeah, it's a little scary at the beginning, but you get used to it. Actually, what we ought to start with, Jonathan, why don't we see if we can introduce our group in here.
All right.
All right.
So, how are we going to do that?
I don't know. It's going to be a little difficult. We're going to start. Take this microphone over this way.
Okay.
And Giselle, tell us your name and where you're from.
I'm Giselle, and I'm from Michigan.
You don't sound like you're from Michigan, though.
No, because I'm really from France, and I came here a long time ago.
Okay. All right. And you are? Tell us your name. What's your name?
This is Lizette. She's 6 years old.
Okay, and she's here watching what's going on.
Okay, who's next?
I'm Ian from Norwich, Connecticut.
Okay.
I'm Elizabeth from Columbus, Ohio.
Elizabeth from Ohio, wow. Okay, who's next?
I'm Rebecca, I'm 11 from Connecticut.
All right.
I'm Gabriella from Detroit, Michigan.
Wow, Detroit. We got a lot of Detroiters here.
Next, pull it, swing it around, guys.
I'm Odalia, also from Detroit.
I'm Kim, and I'm from Oregon.
Whoa, dudes.
I'm Joy from Columbia Falls, Montana.
I'm Paul, and I'm from Groton.
I'm Dan, and I'm from Chicago.
Come on up, guys.
I'm Shauna from Connecticut.
I'm Estelle from Detroit, Michigan.
I'm Heather from Chicago.
I'm Jessica from Chicago.
Keep it coming.
I'm Rebecca from Ohio.
Jonathan from Illinois.
I like his name, by the way.
I'm Micah from Connecticut.
And then, you know who else we have here? Get that mic back to that man.
Sean, the guy in the hall. Hey, wait a minute. Why isn't he behind that
That's
board?
Right.
There's no room.
Sean has made a return. Good morning, Sean. How you doing?
Good.
And your wife is here, too.
Yes, she is. And she's waving, no, forgive
saying,
me.
stay away from the mic. That's what she's saying. But also, just one quick point of interest. Joy is here, and Joy's my sister.
Neat.
She lives out in Montana, and she actually wrote our theme song for our program.
Yes, she did.
And I just thought I'd throw that little piece of detail in
there.
We're
glad you did.
Okay, so let's get started. Okay, guys, now you're with me on this, right? No, nodding. They don't hear nodding. Say, yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Let's talk about the life of Joseph, the Joseph of the Old Testament, and get a sense of who he was, what made him the way he was. And let's start by reading a section of Scripture in Genesis chapter 37, 1 through 11. Would somebody like to step up and read that for us? Okay, Kim, go ahead.
Nice and close.
Okay. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Once Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream that I dreamed. There they were, binding sheaves in the field. Suddenly, my sheaf rose and stood upright. Then their sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more because of his dream and his words. He had another dream and told it to his brothers, saying, "Look, I have had another dream. The sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What kind of dream is this to have had? Shall we indeed come, I and your mother and your brothers, and bow to the ground before you?" So his brothers were very jealous of him, but his father kept the matter to mind.
Okay, thank you, Kim, for reading that for us. And
she's hired.
That's right. Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
So we have the beginning of the story of Joseph here, and it starts out when he's 17 years old. So Joseph is a very young man. And what was different about Joseph than his brothers here? In the scriptures we just read, anybody can tell us what was the thing that was happening in Joseph's life that his brothers were resentful of? Just yell it out if anybody has an answer here. This is questions, Christian questions, and we expect answers. He was having what? And there was silence.
He was having dreams.
Thank you, Dan.
Yes.
He was having dreams. And his brothers didn't like it. Now, Joseph, he had these other older brothers, 10 older brothers, so he was the youngest. And, of course, especially back in those days, the older ones were supposed to be the ones who were most respected.
That's right.
So here, Joseph is having these dreams, and his brothers really don't like him very much.
No.
Matter of fact, it says they hated him. And when you look at the context of Joseph's early life, you find out that his brothers weren't really nice guys. They were kind of a little bit over the edge in terms of being a little bit perhaps dishonest and disrespectful about some of their responsibilities. Joseph wasn't that way. Joseph was very diligent in fulfilling his responsibilities. And Joy, go ahead.
Just a point on his diligence. It says he was shepherding the flock with his brothers, and apparently he was sensitive to the fact that their roles were not being fulfilled in the tasks they were supposed to do, because he brought a bad report to their father, which implies to us that his priorities were straight. He took his work seriously, and it bothered him to see, you know, the rest of his brothers kind of clowning around or whatever they were doing. They weren't doing their job. So you can see our first insight, I think, into his priorities as far as his own responsibility.
Okay, so Joseph then had a sense of responsibility, and was at age 17, being the youngest, was the one his father actually counted on to get the job done well.
But he did have a younger brother, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Benjamin.
Benjamin. He had a younger brother, and he was actually, what did we figure out? He was like 13 years younger than him or something? I think we figured that out, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 5 or 6 years old at the time.
Right. So he was just a little guy when Joseph was 17. So his father honors him, and then Joseph has these dreams. Now, who gave Joseph these dreams?
Anybody?
God.
All right, there you go. And Joseph was chosen of God because of his integrity to be a tool, actually to essentially save the civilized world. We'll get into that probably in the second hour. So Joseph was given these dreams by God, and it created a big rift on top of everything else between he and his brothers.
It was interesting. He didn't interpret these dreams, did he?
No, he didn't.
His brothers did and his father did,
right.
But he didn't.
Right, right. But he had two dreams.
Right.
And we'll be touching on those a little bit later. Jonathan, during the week of the camp, the Bible camp, one of the things we did is we broke Joseph's life down and we described it through a series of words. And we're going to be using those words in our program this morning. And hopefully we're going to get some of these campers to be brave and just tell us what some of these words might mean to them a little bit. And we started out the week by looking at the early part of Joseph's life and saying the things that Joseph had in order were his priorities and the concept of sacrifice. And before I go too far on these words, I just want to give credit where credit is due. These words, we used actually 17 different words with a little tagline attached to them. And they came from a book called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, written by John Maxwell. Unbelievable book. I really enjoyed reading it, and I read it for business purposes, and saw these laws of leadership, and it occurred to me that they were very, very clearly, for the most part of Joseph's life. So during the week of our youth camp, we talked about the life of Joseph in conjunction with how he fulfilled these laws of leadership. So the first two words on the list are priorities and sacrifice. So once we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about what priorities and sacrifice actually mean and what they meant in the life of Joseph.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on 980 WSUB. Grab your Bibles. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Christian Questions on 980 WSUB with Jonathan, Rick, and company. To be a part of our program, call 443-9782, 443-WSUB.
And Jonathan, we are talking about the life of Joseph and looking at him as a 17-year-old kid. And already we see, you know, there's a real similarity between the life of Joseph and the life of Daniel.
That's true.
They both started out at a very young age, standing very, very strongly for principle, for what was right, and did amazing things in their lives as a result of that. So Joseph, we see, was a young man who actually had priorities in place. And that was the first word that we talked about at the campus last week. So who can tell us what priorities mean?
It's pretty much what you put first in your life.
Okay, so what you put first in your life. So we all have things that need to be done, things that we need to focus our lives on, and inevitably, there's usually more than one thing that needs to be done at any given time.
Exactly.
There's usually more than one thing that we could focus on at any given time. There's usually more than one thing that can take up our time at any given time, and that's what priorities are. Priorities are saying which of these things is most important and how do I get focus on it and then do the other things afterwards.
So the question would be, how did Joseph prioritize his values, his life?
And we will see that unfold as we go through the program, because even as a young man, we know what Joyce said earlier. We know that he had his priorities straight.
Right.
Because he was constantly doing the right thing. He was in touch with keeping things going with his father. And God was using him through the dreams. Okay? The other word we introduced at the beginning of the week was sacrifice. Now, what does sacrifice mean? Ian, you said you wanted to give a comment on that? Or we
it
forced you to?
It means giving up something to get something better.
Okay, so when you sacrifice, you're willing to give something up.
Right.
Sometimes the getting something better doesn't come right away when you sacrifice.
That's true.
So oftentimes the price you pay is the only thing you see for quite some time, but that's what sacrifice is about. And sacrifice is essentially putting aside what you perhaps want for the betterment of the big picture.
Good point.
Okay? So we have that as a beginning. Joseph's brothers did not like him. Now, who can tell me what his brothers did because they didn't like him?
Becky?
First they put him in a pit, and then they sold him to the Midianites into slavery.
Okay, good. Good answer. So they threw him in a pit. I mean, what kind of brother is that?
They were going to leave him just to die there, weren't they?
Right, they
originally
were. And so they wanted to be rid of him.
Yep.
Because he was causing grief. He was taking their freedom away, essentially, because he kept putting things straight with their father. And it was their father's flocks that they were supposed to be watching and taking care of.
Now, weren't they jealous? Weren't the brothers jealous of something that their father gave them?
What did their father, what did Jacob, and it's interesting, in the scripture it said that Israel gave, it talked about Jacob settled in the land where his fathers lived, and then in verse 3 it said in Genesis 37, now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other children. Remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel.
That's right.
And we had talked about that not too long ago. Remember when Tom was guest with us on the program?
Yes, yes.
And we talked about Jacob and his name being changed to Israel when he wrestled with the angel?
Yeah, in fact, that's a good point I never noticed before, Rick. If the name Israel is used, it associates the changed character of Jacob with this next statement. It wasn't the old Jacob that loved his son more. It was the Jacob that had wrestled with the angel all night and had this character change that loved his son more. And so I think that also helps us to realize the reason he loved him more was because of the character of his son.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph took God seriously in his life. The other brothers didn't.
Right, right. And that was the important thing. And that's where his priorities were straight. And it was probably, you know, it wasn't easy to be the one that takes it seriously and have everybody else harassing you, especially if they're older than you.
And what's the famous story that we know about with what Joseph was given from his father?
Yeah, so what was he given by his father? Who can tell us?
Anybody?
A coat of many colors.
A coat of many colors. Good job. And see, this coat was pretty, it must have been pretty fancy looking.
Yeah, I'm sure. And it stood out.
It did. It stood out. It probably took a lot of effort to make.
Yeah, it must have cost a lot of money to make at the same time,
right,
with all the material.
Right. And so it was something very, very special, and his brothers just resented that. Then he has these dreams that says, hey, I'm better than you. Is it what they thought
they were saying? Yeah.
Okay. And so there was a lot of resentment, a lot of negativity going on, and then they threw him in a pit. And actually, why don't we read that context? That's found in Genesis 37, verses 18 through 28. Odalia, you want to give that a shot?
Sure.
A little closer.
They saw him from a distance, and before he came near them, they conspired to kill him.
They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of these pits. Then we shall say that the wild animals have devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, throw him into this pit into the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore, and took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty, there was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat. They looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels carrying gum, balm, raisin, and all on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and lay not a hand on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt.
So Joseph's life takes a pretty dramatic turn here. He's now not hanging out with his brothers anymore, is he?
I don't think so.
First of all, he's stuck in a pit.
Right.
And that's not...
Yeah, something interesting about it. Then after they threw him in there, they had a meal.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine the character that the brothers had to be able to eat, knowing what they had done to their brother? And I can imagine him calling out from that pit, "Let me out of here.
Yeah.
Help me."
Yeah, come on, guys. What is this? You know, I didn't do anything wrong. And it would have been a very, very difficult thing. And it's interesting also in this context that you're seeing some of the character of different brothers come out. First of all, they wanted to kill him, and Reuben was the one who said, "No, look, let's not kill him."
Hey, it's interesting Reuben said it because he was the oldest.
Right.
And he should have received the birthright and all the favor being the oldest. But he was the one that said, "You know, I'm going to sneak back here and get him out, you know, so I can get him back to his father."
Right. So there was a... Reuben had a secondary agenda.
Yes.
He felt guilty about what was going on.
Yes, he did.
And so he figured, okay, when everything is done, said and done, I'll come back and I'll rescue the kid out of here, because yeah. I can't do this. This is wrong. So, you know, at least you see that little bit of conscience there. And and then you see who's
Judah.
Judah also looks like he's trying to avoid Joseph dying.
Yes.
He says, you know, he's not talking to Reuben. So Reuben's thinking his own thing.
In fact, Reuben kind of left and mm-hmm. didn't, he was away from the other brothers at the time.
So now this band of Midianites comes by, and Judah says, "Hey, look, let's sell him. At least, he's thinking, at least he'll be alive."
Right.
So they weren't all, like, bad to the core,
mm-hmm.
but they certainly did not have a good sense of what was happening here.
But it shows you the power of peer pressure.
Right.
Of when one has an idea and it feeds off of another that, you know, maybe not all of them really wanted this to go through, but what could they say? It was already in motion.
Right. So, at this stage of Joseph's life now, he's sold into slavery. And a couple of words I just want to introduce here. Joseph was an individual who carried a lot of influence. And we know that by the way his brothers reacted to him. Okay, first of all, obviously his brothers listened to what he said. That's why they didn't like him. All right, so his influence didn't necessarily have a good impact at this point in his life, but his influence did have a good impact on his father. And Joseph was well respected, and he showed some leadership quality very, very early in his life, just as a teenager. And the other thing that's interesting that will reflect throughout Joseph's life is the word process. Now, who can tell me what process means? Anybody step up for that? Process.
Well, a process is something that takes time, and it's not done immediately. It's a process.
It's a process is a process. Let's pause and consider that, because that's exactly it. So on our sheet with the words, what's the tagline that goes with process? Who can tell us? What does it say? Just read it off.
Develop daily, not in a day.
All right, develop daily, not in a day. And Jonathan, of all of the things in Joseph's life, this is one that he excelled at.
You're right.
He was so good at developing daily, taking whatever the experience was that was put in front of him and using it for good.
And doing the best he could, always.
Under bad circumstances.
That's right. And we could see it in the fields, shepherding the flock. It started right there and then at 17.
Right. And we also see that, you know, when I mean, part of his early experience, he was in the pits, man. It was not good. It wasn't good, but he worked through it. So let's keep moving on because we've got a lot of ground we want to cover.
I can see being tired hasn't dulled your wit.
Well, it's always dull. That's the problem, Sean. It's just not any duller than it normally is. But let's go through because now Joseph is sold into slavery. Okay, so now he becomes a slave. He's not in good shape here. He's a slave. And he ends up being a servant in somebody's house. And this is a really, really, really interesting story. So let's take a look at Genesis chapter 39. Let's read just verses 1 through 6 to start with. And then I'm going to read 7 through 10 afterwards. Shauna, you got those for us? Okay.
Now Joseph was taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he had become a successful man. He was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. He made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field.
Okay, and read verse 6.
So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and with him there he had no concern for anything but the food that he ate. Now Joseph was handsome and good-looking.
So Joseph was a hunk. Not only was he smart, not only did he have integrity, but he was a good-looking young man. And Jonathan, this is a great part of the story because it really reveals a lot of things about Joseph. Any general observations about Joseph that we can get from this little section of Scripture? Joy, you have anything? You're looking thoughtful.
Well, just that apparently Joseph's behavior made Potiphar extremely comfortable with him. And again, he was given a supervisory position as a teenager. It happened again. Another supervisory role involving total trust. So much was left to his responsibility, and Potiphar was comfortable with that.
So Potiphar is a relatively wealthy guy, has a lot of things that need to be taken care of. Joseph ends up being a slave in Potiphar's house.
And Potiphar was captain of the guard, which means he probably had a good handle on reading people.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. Try that again, Sean.
Pull up
microphone.
Close.
Potiphar was captain of the guard, which means he probably had a very good talent for getting an immediate read on people as mm-hmm. far as who they are and what they were about.
And he had a lot of responsibility in that. So Potiphar was a well-recognized man in Egypt, wealthy, important,
mm-hmm.
and he takes this young guy, Joseph, sees what he's about, and, you know, he buys him. So Joseph is a piece of property at this point in time.
Right.
He's a foreigner. He's a piece of property taken into the house of this successful, important individual, and it says Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And Potiphar made him overseer over his house and put him in charge of all that he had. Now, you get a sense on what that means when you read verse 6. Jonathan, read verse 6 again.
Sure. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and with him there he had no concern for anything but the food that he ate.
So Potiphar essentially was able to forget about all of his possessions, all of the workings of his massive household.
Which must be a lot of duties there.
Because he left it all in Joseph's hands. And the idea was that this kid, he had such trust in him that it didn't matter. He didn't give a second thought to what was going on in his household. That's how well Joseph did in this circumstance. So it's an amazing testament to the character of Joseph, to the process that we were talking about, to his willingness to sacrifice, and to his ability to have influence. Joy? Are you going to?
Yeah, I was just noticing it says in verse 3 that Potiphar saw that the Lord, and that's Yahweh, Jehovah, was with him, and that Jehovah caused all he did to prosper. I'm wondering if that might even imply that Joseph told him about the one true God. It doesn't just say that God or a God was with him. This is the God. And so I think also Joseph not only lived a good life, he talked about what his faith was.
Yeah, he talked the talk and walked the talk as well. So I think you're right. So young man, just a young man, just like these young folks are in the studio here with us, Jonathan. They're young, they're getting started out in life, and this is a great example to look at. Joseph ran into trouble in Potiphar's house.
He sure did.
So let's read verses 7 through 10.
And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me."
This is trouble.
But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, with me here, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my hand. He is not greater in there is none greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not consent to lie beside her or to be with her.
So Joseph, this young kid, really, really, really shows his true colors here, because he stands his ground and he says that's a wrong thing to do. And the reason he says it, he doesn't say it because, you know, I would be doing betraying Potiphar. He says I'd be betraying God.
Right.
So God was his main concern, and that's what made Joseph such an amazing character to look at. Jonathan, we need to hit a break at this point, but we're talking about a young man who had more integrity than most people have in their entire lives.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on 980 WSUB. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Christian Questions on 980 WSUB with Jonathan and Rick. Our subject this segment, so what kind of guy was Joseph?
Pretty good guy.
To be a part of our program, call 443-9782-443-WSUB.
You know, Jonathan, the way to explain Joseph was the man.
Yes, he was.
He was the man. He just was the man. He had it together from such a young age and kept it together throughout his entire life. It's amazing to see that. And, you know, we look at this circumstance. The thing that you talked about, read just before the break, was a circumstance with Potiphar's wife. She pursued him.
Mm-hmm. Day after day.
Right. And he stood his ground because he knew the right thing to do. That tells you what Joseph was made of. And he was just a kid. You know, it would have been easy to rationalize all that.
Yep. Well, I believe we have a call. Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
Good morning, this is Julius.
Good morning,
good
Julius.
Morning.
You sure are qualified to join such a youthful group this morning. I feel younger if you let me participate.
Well, yeah, jump right in.
Can you make an exception?
We can.
Well, what a wonderful story, the life of Joseph. Scholars see it so remarkable that they see it as picturing the Lord Jesus, as a type or a figure of the Lord Jesus, you know, comparable to the life of the Lord Jesus because of his wonderful dedication to Jehovah God, his integrity, as you have mentioned, his honesty and so forth. I'd like to mention priorities that you have alluded already mentioned this morning, that you know, we make choices. Now, the young people you have, the group you have in your studio, they could have prioritized and said, "Well, I'd rather sleep this morning."
I'm sure some of them thought that. I thought that, actually.
But they chose, they made the choice instead to be with you, and I think it's a good choice. And in life, I think we're going to always be challenged like that, and hopefully these wonderful values about Joseph and God's dealings with his people that will guide us, to the young people, to make the right choices at the right time. One good point also about Joseph, I'm sure you have many that I couldn't even think of, is that we learn that righteousness shall always prevail,
right.
Will always overcome evil. And just one scripture, Romans 8:31. If God is with us, who can be against us? You see, Joseph, everybody, you know, they were wanted to kill him. You know, he was in a hopeless situation, but God was with Joseph. So Joseph prevailed. Joseph prospered because God was with him. And just one other observation about the young people that you have in your studio there, if I may. They're going to have experiences in life. They will come across bullies. They will come across wrong, you know, when things like everything goes against them. But remember, as long as God is on our side, everything will come out fine. Thank you for sharing. God bless.
Well, thank you so much, Julius. We appreciate your input.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
As usual, a few little pearls of wisdom in there.
Oh, yeah.
And he's right. And, you know, with these... that was one of the reasons that we had this theme of Joseph for the young people's week of camp there at the Bible camp, because the life of Joseph is a great example of being able to rise above and resist evil and temptation and to do the right thing. And Joseph did it not because he was so great, but he did it because he was focused on honoring God.
Exactly.
With his everyday life.
That was the most important thing.
And it shows. It's not like you can look at one part of Joseph's life and say, wow, he did really well there. You can look at all of Joseph's life and say, this is an amazing story.
Yep, for sure.
Jonathan, just really quickly, getting back to the situation with Potiphar's wife. She, this woman, pursues him. He continually tells her no. Gets to a point where she pulls his robe off of him, and he goes running away.
Mm-hmm.
Now... she frames him, essentially.
Exactly.
Because she's got his robe, and now she says, oh, he tried to seduce me, and blah, blah, blah. And what happens to Joseph?
Oh, he was put in prison.
Now.
Which is amazing.
Right. And I mean amazing.
Because, I mean, if Potiphar really believed his wife 100%, he should have been put to death.
Right.
But, because he knew Joseph's integrity... and that he wouldn't sin against God, he put him in prison instead.
So, you know, what Sean said earlier might come into play here. You know, he said because he was captain of the guard, he probably would have been good at reading people.
Mm-hmm.
He probably was able to read his wife as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew the characters involved. And he knew Joseph's character was sterling. And his own wife's character was perhaps less than that. And so he saw that, but he didn't follow through and put him to death, so he put him in prison. We got a few scriptures there, because so now the guy goes to prison for something he didn't do. Okay, not only did he not do it, he avoided it like the plague. I mean, he literally ran away from that experience.
I think it's in my class.
Go ahead.
Potiphar probably was trapped.
Yeah.
Probably had to set an example for the rest of the household.
Right.
Couldn't disprove his wife, even though he distrusted her, and therefore...
He couldn't ignore the circumstance. That's what Sean is saying. I don't think you could hear. He could not ignore the circumstance. He was trapped. He had to make an example of Joseph somehow or other, because you can't allow that kind of thing to happen.
Right.
Behind you.
I was just thinking that he also had to save his wife's face also in the
sure.
eyes of the people who were looking at his household, because he had such a high position.
Right, right. And it was a very, very difficult thing. So he...
Well, as we can tell, the Lord overruled the whole thing.
Absolutely did.
There was a reason that he needed Joseph in prison. And I guess we're leading to that.
But think about it now. You go to prison for something you didn't do, and something you not only didn't do, like we said before, but you ran away from day after day after day after day after day.
Well, how much did Joseph complain about his situation?
Well, you know, if it were me, I don't know. I think I would have complained, especially such injustice. I mean, if you have been so unjustly accused and convicted, and you're there in prison, you got a lot of reason to complain. I mean, isn't it a good thing to be able to complain? You know, you got to be able to vent. and make it make yourself hurt so people know that, you know, you guys might be in prison because you did something wrong, but I didn't do anything wrong. I'm a good guy. I didn't do anything wrong. I am purely innocent. I don't think I should be here. I could just keep going on.
Well, let's ask the young people, how much did Joseph complain? Go ahead. How much and how bad did he complain? Go ahead.
Did he complain?
Come on.
He didn't complain at all.
What? Wait a minute.
He didn't.
How could that be?
In fact, it says in these next verses.
Why don't you read them?
14 and 15. Okay. But remember me when it is well with you. Please do me this kindness to make mention of me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this place. For in fact, this is how he describes his past. I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon. No details about his brothers, how he was treated, the pit, you know, his coat, how taken away from him. None of that was even mentioned. He did not blame. He was very outwardly focused on what the Lord had for him to do next.
All right, so Joseph then, if we just do a little bit of review. Joseph, looking back in his life, when he was sold into slavery, was unjustly sold.
Right.
Could have been really bitter as a result of that.
But he wasn't.
But he wasn't. He goes to work in Potiphar's house and does an extraordinary job. Then he's unjustly accused in Potiphar's house. Could have been bitter after that.
But he wasn't.
Gets thrown into prison. And here's what happens when he's in prison. Read, maybe somebody can read Genesis 39, 20 to 23.
And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. He remained there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. He gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's care and all the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The chief jailer paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made prosper.
So, Jonathan, there's a recurring theme in Joseph's life.
That's right.
And the theme is, not only does he always seem to do the right thing,
mm-hmm.
but those that put him in charge are so confident in his ability and his integrity that they don't even check up on him.
That's amazing.
Especially if you're in prison. Here's this guy in prison, and it says the chief jailer paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care.
He did such a good job, he didn't have to worry.
So that gives you an understanding of the shining example Joseph must have been in that context. And to me, that is just amazing that you have a young man. I'm not sure exactly how old he is at this point. He must be in his early 20s by now, probably in that area. So young, but able to be so diligent and so trustworthy that even the jailer who is responsible for him doesn't even check up, because he just knows that Joseph's going to do things well and correctly and honestly and justly. And Jonathan, there's a couple of things, and we won't go into all of them because our time is fleeting, but there's some other words that we were talking about in relation to these things. One is Joseph exhibited something called solid ground. Micah, that's your cue to come over to the microphone. Solid ground. Micah, what do we mean when we talk about solid ground in relation to Joseph's life?
It's just that we should try to base off everything off of something sure, like trust is a good foundation to base our actions and morals off of.
All right, so Joseph was trustworthy to such an extent that even his jailer could relax when Joseph was around. That was the solid ground that Joseph's influence was based on. It's amazing. One of the other things that we talked about, we had a lot of fun with this at the camp. We talked about these words are from a book by John Maxwell called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And one of the laws of leadership was called the lid.
The what?
The lid.
What's that mean?
That mean the lid is the height to which we can rise based on our own personal expectations. And let me just tell you a quick little story about the lid that I read in the book, and that's how I know the story. Have you ever been bitten by a flea?
Yes.
And
they hurt.
Yes,
oh,
they
yeah.
do. And they itch and all that kind of stuff. They're little tiny little critters, and they jump.
Mm-hmm.
Fleas jump. And you can actually train a flea to jump only a certain height. And what you do with that is, if you can put fleas in a jar, Okay, and you put a lid on top.
Okay.
What happens is they'll jump, but they'll continually hit their heads on the lid until they get the idea that they shouldn't jump quite that high. So when they start jumping lower and they don't jump high enough to hit their head anymore, because I would imagine banging your head all the time is not comfortable. You've heard the phrase banging your head against the wall?
Yes.
Well, this is banging your head against the lid. And you can actually take the lid off of the jar after they start jumping lower, and they won't jump out because they're so used to jumping lower, they don't want to hit the lid.
Hmm.
And the question is, when you look at that as an example, how high is the lid that you live by? Joseph had a very high lid. He was able to rise to great heights.
That's right.
His lid was serving God. His lid was living with integrity. His lid was being everything he could be in relation to God's will for him. And the lids around him,
the influence of the world,
right, like his brothers,
okay,
they had a very low lid.
Yes.
They did not rise to any kind of great heights at all. And unfortunately, it shows in what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Your lid, wherever the height of your lid is, determines how far you can go in life. And one of the lessons we worked on at the camp was trying to raise our lid. Make it a higher lid so you can go higher, and the higher you go, the closer you get to serving God.
Excellent.
So we're going to talk about, we just mentioned those two. Fred, what do we have for time? 2 minutes, okay. In prison, not only does Joseph take good care of things, but he also gets involved with some of the prisoners and he interprets dreams.
That's right.
And we won't take the time to read this. We just want to kind of sum this up because we got to keep moving forward. But there's two guys in prison. Who were these two guys? Anybody remember what they were? They were the what?
Cupbearer and baker.
The cupbearer and the baker from Pharaoh's house. Now, Pharaoh's the big cheese in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
He's the big ragu. He's the big man. He's the numero uno, the top dog. You know, he's...
We get it.
Okay. And Pharaoh... has these guys in prison. They both have a dream, and they're both a little depressed because they don't understand what the dream means. Joseph interprets their dreams. Now, what's the interpretation of the dreams?
Did you say he interprets the dreams?
I'm sorry. I guess I goofed. Well, go ahead. Correct it.
Well, God interpreted it through him.
Okay, so Joseph...
That's what he said.
Right. Joseph interprets the dream, but it's by the power and grace of God that he does it. And that's what he says exactly. He says exactly that. He says, well, you know, we can get an interpretation for you. It's from God.
There you go.
But it comes through Joseph. And he interprets the dreams. And one of these guys, the dream's interpretation meant that he was going to be able to go back to work in Pharaoh's house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which guy was that? Who remembers? Remember? Which one gets to go back to work in Pharaoh's house?
The cupbearer.
The cupbearer. Okay. So that's good. I mean, that's a happy ending, and, you know, yeah, you can live happily ever after there. But the other guy, what happens to him?
The chief baker, what happens to him?
He doesn't get so lucky. His head gets chopped off.
That's pretty sad. So it's not a good situation. But Joseph interpreted the dreams accurately, and when the cupbearer goes back to Pharaoh, Joseph says to him, please remember me when you go back before Pharaoh. Unfortunately, he forgets him for 2 years. When we come back, we'll pick up the story at that point. We're talking about what kind of guy was Joseph. We're finding out some pretty amazing things about this young man, so stay with us. We'll be back after the news and all of that. For Jonathan and Rick, this is Christian Questions. We have a house full here, so you don't want to miss it. What kind of guy was Joseph? Think about it.
Praise, led by His Spirit from a pink.
Keller once said, "Self-pity is our worst enemy, and if we yield to it, we can never do anything wise in the world." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. The objective of our program is to discuss with you, our listeners, thought-provoking and meaningful topics based on the Bible. It's a call-in format. We are caller-friendly, and we look forward to hearing your point of view. Jonathan, it's crowded in here.
It sure is.
What's going on?
Well, we have 21 people in here from, we had a full week of Bible camp, and our subject was Joseph. So that's why we're talking about this question. So what kind of guy was Joseph? And our theme text is found in Genesis 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was in the house of the Egyptian master.
So we're talking about the life of, and the life and times of Joseph. And as we go through that, we have this studio audience, if you will, of 21 folks, and most of which are young people that were attendees at the camp with us. That's one of the reasons my voice is hoarse.
That's right. Much better than it was the last
couple
days.
That's right. At least I can talk. And they've been helping us with the program and doing some reading and a few comments here and there. But the ages of the kids in the studio here, let's see, the youngest one is how old?
Six years old?
Yeah. Six years old, and the oldest is how old here? Who's the oldest? How old are you? 16. Ah, so we go from 6 to 16, and the ages of the camp actually were 9 through about 17 through
right.
high school graduation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was a great week.
Oh, it was.
Great studies, great conversations, great time playing together and campfires at night. And,
mm-hmm. Lots of singing.
Lots of singing. Matter of fact, we're going to do a little bit later on.
All right.
As we get through this program. But, Jonathan, just a quick recap. We talked about the early part of Joseph's life in the first hour. We talked about when he was 17, how his brothers, his 10 older brothers, really did not like him at all.
They were jealous.
Because, first of all, he was doing the things he was supposed to be. They weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Their father trusted him and not them, wisely, I might add.
Yes.
And their father favored him and not them. And Joseph had dreams that they resented, and they tried to get rid of him.
They resented his coat.
And they ended up selling him into slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up working for a guy named Potiphar.
Yep, was the captain of the guard.
And at 17 or 18 years old, this kid ran this wealthy man's entire household so well that Potiphar didn't even pay attention to what Joseph did. He did such an unbelievable job.
But then there was a problem, wasn't there?
There was a big problem because Potiphar's wife was after Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph, she was continually after Joseph. And Joseph continually refused her because it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And she accused him then, and where did he end up?
In jail.
He ends up in jail. And what happens when he's in jail?
He interpreted some dreams.
Well, even before that, though.
Before that? Oh, yeah. The jailer saw the wisdom and stature of Joseph and put him in charge, and he didn't care or think about the jail because Joseph was taking care of everything.
That's right. It was funny because at the camp, remember when we were doing one of our segments, we had somebody play the part of Joseph for
right,
a week.
Right.
And we made believe we made a phone call to Joseph in prison. And he answers the phone, cell block 4.
But he wasn't in cell
right,
block 4.
Right. We asked for Joseph. He said, oh, he's in administration. You know, put you on hold. And, you know, the whole idea was Joseph ran the place and did such a good job that people didn't ever have to look over his shoulder.
Right.
He had incredible integrity. And so now Joseph, now get to that thing with the interpretation
sure.
of the dreams.
He interpreted dreams through God's influence and power, and he told the cupbearer to remember him for the dream. But how long did it take for the cupbearer to say, oh, yeah, Joseph can interpret dreams?
It took 2 years.
Can you imagine being in jail 2 years longer, hoping that you were going to get out?
Yeah, here's my ticket out. And he was in jail for something he didn't do.
Right.
Something he not only didn't do, but worked at avoiding. And then there's an extra 2 years tagged on. And the only reason the cupbearer remembers is because Pharaoh, the king, the big cheese, the big ragu, has a dream that he's troubled by and doesn't know the interpretation of it. And the cupbearer says, oh, wait a minute.
I know a guy.
There's a guy in prison I knew 2 years ago. Hope he's still alive. Knew 2 years ago who could probably help you out with that. So let's read the account of what happened there. In Genesis chapter, we're going to read Genesis chapter 41, verses 1 through 4, verses 8 through 16, and then verses 17 through 21. And Jessica's going to get us started.
After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile. And there came up out of the Nile 7 sleek and fat cows, and they grazed in the reed grass. Then 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. The ugly and thin cows ate up the 7 sleek and fat cows, and Pharaoh awoke. In the morning his spirit was troubled, so he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all of its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "I remember my faults today. Once Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. We dreamed on the same night, he and I each having a dream with its own meaning. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each according to his dream. As he interpreted to us, so it turned out, I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. Then Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was hurriedly brought out of the dungeon. When he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said of you, that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, It is not I. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer.
Okay, so now before we read the next section, Jonathan, let's just recap that a little bit, and then we'll get ready to read the next few verses. Just 1 second. Pharaoh has this dream,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And he dreamed, we'll get into the dream later on.
And all the wise men that he had in his court couldn't do anything with it.
So this is trouble, and the cupbearer says, you know, I remember this guy from a long time ago. And so Joseph essentially ends up coming before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, okay, you must be the guy who can interpret my dream. What does Joseph say in response to that?
No, it's not me. It's God that's the interpreter.
So, again,
there's
think
the
about
integrity.
This. Right, but here's your chance, your big chance to be the big guy on the block. And you say, okay, I'm in front of Pharaoh. This is it. This is the time where I can really shine.
And get out of jail, maybe.
What a get out of jail free card. Here it is, right there.
If I make myself look good.
Right. So, but he doesn't do that. He goes there and he says, God will give the interpretation. Okay, so now in the next few verses, Genesis 41, 17 through 21.
Nice and close.
Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, In my dream, I was standing in the banks of the Nile, and 7 fat cows and 7 sleek came up of the Nile and fed the reed grass. Then 7 other cows came up from the poor, very ugly and thin. Never had seen such an ugly ones all the land of Egypt. The thin ugly cows ate up the first 7 fat cows, but when they had eaten them, no one would have known they had done so, for they were still as ugly as before. Then I awoke.
Very good.
Nice.
Fine job. So Pharaoh now tells Joseph the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting the way he describes this dream. Okay? He describes the dream and he says, okay, I'm standing. And actually, Jonathan, we don't have time to do it, but Pharaoh actually had 2 separate dreams. We're only dealing with one because there were 2 separate dreams that were on the same issue. And as he's describing this dream, he says, you know, these fat cows were there, and then these ugly cows came up. And he says, I had never seen such ugly cows in my entire life in the entire land of Egypt. I mean, he's saying, these cows were ugly, and I mean ugly. And Joy, who is a prolific songwriter, we were talking, she read this verse about these ugly cows, and she wrote a song for the camp about these ugly cows and what the dream meant and all of that. And I thought it would be kind of cool if we would have the kids sing for us the song which we call the Ugly Cow Song. So let's hear it. Ugly Cow song.
Lots of fun.
I think it's pretty awesome. So Joseph is told the dream. Thanks, guys. That was awesome.
That was fun.
And maybe we'll try and do another song by the end of the program. Maybe we could do the Joseph song. Do we have the words here? Did anybody bring the words? Details. We'll look into that, see if we can find it. But you guys are good. Anyway... So Joseph is told the dream, and then Joseph is about to interpret the dream.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we hit our break at this point, and then when we come back, we're going to see what Joseph has to say about this amazing dream of Pharaoh and what it leads to and why Joseph is where he is.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on 980 WSUB. Grab your Bibles. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Christian Questions on 980 WSUB with Jonathan and Rick, our subject this segment. So what kind of guy was Joseph? To be a part of our program, call 443-9782, 443-WSUB.
Joseph was an amazing guy, Jonathan. He was an amazing guy because at a very young age, you know, you might say the man had it together.
For sure.
I'd say he just had it together. He had his priorities straight. And one of the things that we're gonna look at Joseph's interpretation of the dream, but here is where Joseph becomes an incredible navigator. He becomes able to navigate the nation of Egypt through a serious situation. Again, at a young age, he learns this navigation. You know, the navigator charts the course.
That's right.
Anybody can steer the ship, but you need the navigator to chart the course, and that's what Joseph does for Egypt and the world at this point in time. So let's listen to Joseph interpreting the dream by the grace of God. I mean, this is not Joseph's interpretation. It's from God, but it's his words explaining it to Pharaoh. This is Genesis 41, 25 through 40.
Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, as are the seven empty ears blighted by the east wind. There are 7 years of famine. It is as I told Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. there will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. After them there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land. The plenty will no longer be known in the land because of the famine that will follow, for it will be grievous. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. And now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a man who is discerning and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land, and take one-fifth of the produce and of the land of Egypt during the 7 plenteous years. Let them gather all the land, all the food of these good years that are coming, and lay up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are about to befall the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. The proposal pleased Pharaoh and all of his servants. Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find anyone else like this, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all of this, there is no one so discerning and so wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only with regard to the throne will I be greater than you."
So, Jonathan, again,
Whoa. You
see some pretty amazing things
that
happen.
That is.
And there's a number of observations we want to make in this context of the interpretation. First of all, the baseline interpretation is, what did the 7 fat cows represent? Anybody here want to give us a comment on what the 7 fat cows represented?
Help
Becky?
Us out. All right, come on up.
7 years of plenty.
7 years of plenty. Okay, don't go away, Becky. What did the 7 skinny, ugly cows represent?
7 years of nothing to eat.
Right, exactly. So Pharaoh had 2 dreams. One was with cows and one was with the ears of corn. Both of them essentially the same thing. And Joseph is saying, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have 7 years where things are going to go very well. You're going to have great harvests. But 7 years after that, there's going to be nothing. And so Joseph interprets it, and he says a couple of things. First, he says, God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do.
Right.
So again, he gives credit to God.
Exactly.
Okay? And then in verse 32, it says, and the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that this thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. So he not only tells him once, but he tells him twice, God is doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he's giving you warning, and then he tells Pharaoh how to solve the problem.
Right. And doesn't say, hey, let me do it at all.
Right.
He says, here's instructions on how you can protect yourself.
He says, Pharaoh, what you want to do is you want to find somebody that you can trust, and what they ought to do. So he's got it all worked out. They ought to take 20% of every year's harvest, and save it and put it aside so that when the time comes, you can feed all of the people. So he says, you know, Pharaoh, you know, you want to find somebody who can handle this. Pharaoh's reactions is, looks around, looks at all the people in his court and says, hey, is there anybody like this guy?
And then his next comment, one in whom is the Spirit of God?
Again.
Is that amazing? Pharaoh recognized.
Right.
And admitted it.
And the reason he did is because Joseph kept telling him about God. What a great example that he didn't take credit, gave God credit, and he was given the responsibility as a result of giving God credit. So Joseph now becomes the navigator for the nation of Egypt, and again, he's given authority. Now, I think, Joy, you mentioned earlier that he was given authority. No, not on the program. Remember we were talking on the way over here? See, I've got an hour drive, and so we had a long talk about this. Talk about the levels of authority. Remember?
Yeah, he started out supervising the sheep with his brothers in the first chapter of his life, and that was a level of responsibility. And
he was probably young and sheepish at that point.
Oh, yes, Rick. Bah, I'm sorry. But in the next chapter of his life, he was given responsibility in Potiphar's home. Again, a lot of responsibility. And then the next phase in prison, he was given a supervisory role. And every chapter of his life prepared him for this final supervisory role when he would be second in command to Pharaoh. Is that what you had in mind?
Yeah. And the levels of supervision He kept getting bigger.
Right.
He went from sheep.
And the challenge of it was bigger. Right. I think the greatest challenge of supervision was in the prison, probably. The time when his faith might have been the most tried, especially those last 2 years. But every section of his life, he had power, he had a stewardship, just like we do. And the challenge is, how will we use the power in whatever circumstance that we're in? How will we use our power of choice? How will we use our power of influence? And he went through with shining colors.
So he put him, by his actions, he ended up putting himself in a position of great authority and immense responsibility. I mean, think about it. If you are preparing for years of famine where there's no crops able to be harvested, you've got to be on top of it. And this is 7 years of preparation.
You can't slack.
And that's the key thing, I think, in Joseph here, is that when there's so much, when there is plenty, the tendency is to say, well, you know, we don't have to be that particular. But Joseph obviously was very particular, because not only did his preparation take care of the people of the land of Egypt, we're going to find out it also supported many of the surrounding nations as well.
One of the other words that we're talking about is after the lid is timing. It was the right time for Joseph to help out and save the world from this famine.
And all of the experiences of Joseph's life when he was younger prepared him for this particular experience. It's interesting, and I don't know if I have the scripture written out on one of these papers or not. I don't think so. Joseph was 30 years old when he came to work in Pharaoh's service.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember, our story started when Joseph was 17.
Right.
So you have a 13-year period of time through which he ends up in the pit. He ends up as a slave. He ends up as a in Potiphar's house. He ends up in prison. So there's a lot of time that goes by, and now he's 30. Who else was 30 and started some great, magnificent, amazing work that changed the entire history of all of the world? Anybody remember who else was 30 years old?
Jesus was.
Do you think that there could be some connection?
Isn't that what Julius was saying?
Yeah. Yeah, he had mentioned that in the first hour. Joseph really is shown as a picture of Jesus, because as Jesus, his sacrifice, his ransom, his life and his death saved the world. Joseph's abilities, by God's grace, saved the world.
Yes.
So it was a picture. It was a picture of the work of Jesus to come much, much later on. So he interprets the dream about the ugly cows, and they were ugly. And I mean ugly. I just love that song. And now we move forward, and we see that, let's see what happens to Joseph now. Once he's now in Pharaoh's house, we're now on the top of page 4 for those of you who have the outline here. In Pharaoh's house, here's what happens. Anybody want to read that? Genesis 41, verses 45 through 46. There's a really tough name in there.
All right. Let's just go right now. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave...
You did that well.
Why, thank you.
And he gave... I'm very impressed.
Well, don't be, because the next word is going to get me. And he gave him Aseneth, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, as his wife. Thus Joseph gained authority over the land of Egypt. Joseph was, here it is,
it wasn't
30
okay.
years old when he entered the service of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt.
Now, we don't have time to read through all of what Joseph did, but he became well known and honored throughout all the land of Egypt. Remember, he was the guy that everybody reported to. The only difference between him and Pharaoh was the throne.
That's right.
That's how elevated he became as a result of not only giving the interpretation of God through him, but of the suggestions that he made. He was, you know, Joseph must have come across as just very, very confident in where he was going for Pharaoh to do what he did.
This put him above Potiphar, whose house he was in charge of.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and yeah. Gave him his daughter?
No, that's a different, that's Potipharah.
Okay, that's different, okay.
Different, right. Maybe second cousins, who knows, I don't know. That was speculation on my part, incidentally. Okay, so let's see what happened now. Let's go to Genesis 41, same chapter, a few verses down. Jonathan, actually, before we read this, I understand we have a call, so why don't we go right to the call.
Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, good morning. It's Peter.
Good morning, Peter.
How you doing?
Great. Fine.
My phone's noisy. I apologize for that. But you're talking about Joseph.
Yes.
And here's a guy who made the best of every situation he was in. And he was scorned, and he was betrayed by his brothers. He was put into positions where a lot of people would just be depressed and just, you know. But he turned around, and he earned everyone's trust around him, and he made the best of every situation he was in, and he was able to be a go-between between the highest authority and everyone who he came in contact with. But you know, it just seems, if it wasn't for you said 30 years of age and you mentioned Jesus, back when what happened with Noah, wasn't that about the same thing? There was a person whose qualities and whose way of living and situation earned him that trust from God to take and do a deed for him, and I guess he was working through him the same way. Similarly, maybe a parallel way.
Yeah, I think you're right, and that's a concept that goes through the scriptures frequently. Is God looks at and finds those who have the character and takes that and molds it and works with it, but bringing Noah in is a good example.
So no matter what situation you're in, you try to make the best of it.
Right.
There's a good lesson there. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Peter, for sharing. We appreciate it.
Enjoying your group.
They're terrific.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Jonathan, that was a good point that Peter made, because what he was saying really is that Joseph served as the go-between to get the job done. And those that God chooses to serve in those capacities are those whose characters are developed to the point where they can handle such responsibility without it getting to their head, so to speak.
And he used Noah as that example.
Right, and you know, and the scripture specifically says about Noah found grace in the sight of God.
Exactly.
And with Joseph, the grace that he found was very obvious by the things that happened to him and the things that he did.
One thing we didn't mention was the history of his grandfather and great-grandfather.
Right.
And so that heritage was passed down, the promise to Abraham.
That's right. And Abraham was given, probably the scripture that we've quoted on this program more than any others is the promise that was given to Abraham. In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Your seed shall be multiplied as the stars of heaven and the sands of the seashore. And that promise given to Abraham was to bless all the nations of the world. Now, Jesus was that promised seed.
Yes.
Because Galatians 5:29 tells us that.
Right.
But the promise was given to Abraham. It was repeated to his son Isaac.
Right.
It was repeated to his son Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, who was Joseph's father.
And we believe Joseph took it to heart, and he believed it.
Right.
Where maybe the other brothers... they didn't care or weren't focused.
And that's the thing. Joseph didn't have the Bible to read.
No, he didn't.
He was the Bible, and he's in the first book. He's in Genesis. So he had the spoken word of his father, his grandfather, and his great-grandfather. He had a legacy to rely on to get him to where he was, and that's what fed his faith. He knew God was with them because of the history between the generations before him. So let's move forward, Jonathan. Let's read that. What section was that? Oh, Genesis 41, 53 to 57.
Anyone want to help us out?
The 7 years of plenty and
that prevailed.
Prevailed of the land of Egypt came the end of the 7 years of the famine began to come. Just as Joseph had said, there's famine in every country, but throughout the land of Egypt, there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, what storehouses.
What he says to you,
oh,
do.
What he says to you,
do.
Do. And since the famine had spread over the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was
severe
in the land of Egypt.
Moreover,
all the world came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because of the famine became served throughout the world.
Very good.
Excellent. So not only in Egypt was there a famine, but it was all the surrounding countries.
And that thickens the plot here.
It does.
Because in the next, we'll be heading into the break in a second, but in the next segment, we're going to see that Joseph's brothers come to Egypt to get food.
Mm.
And that's where you really, I mean, we've seen Joseph's character shining through at every corner here.
Now's his chance to get back, maybe.
Yeah, and this is now when his brothers are going to come into the picture. Joseph is going to be now, 7 years, and I think it was 2 years in, so he's now 37, 39 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be reunited with his brothers, but they're not going to know they're reunited with him.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on 980 WSUB. Don't go away, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Christian Questions on 980 WSUB with Jonathan and Rick. Our subject this segment, so what kind of guy was Joseph? To be a part of our program, call 443-9782, 443-WSUB.
All right, Jonathan, what kind of guy was Joseph?
So far, he was a good guy.
He was the man, I'm telling
you. He had integrity.
He just, what an unbelievable example of just his
faithfulness.
Priorities.
Oh,
and God-honoring character that comes through at every turn. Actually, let's read this next small section of the account where Joseph again sees his brothers. Genesis 42, verses 1 through 8. Shauna, you want to read that for us?
When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you keep looking at one another? I have heard," he said, "that there is grain in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us there, that we may live and not die." So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he feared that harm might come to him. Thus the sons of Israel were among the other people who came to buy grain, for the famine had reached the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land. It was he who sold to all the people. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. When Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he treated them like strangers and spoke harshly to them. "Where do you come from?" he said. They said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." Although Joseph had recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him.
Now, Jonathan, can you imagine, thank you, Shoshana, for that. Can you imagine being Joseph after all of these years? He's about 39 or 40 years old at this point.
Okay.
Okay, doing all the math.
And he was 17 when he was thrown in the pit.
Right. So 22, 23 years later, his brothers show up begging for food.
Mm.
The same brothers that wanted to kill him, the same brothers that left him in a pit, then decided to sell him into slavery.
The same brothers said, "So we're to bow down to you?"
Right. And what do? When they come in, they prostrate themselves before him. It's amazing. The same brothers. But here's the thing. Joseph has a decision. Because he can't look at them and say,
"Gotcha.
Gotcha now. You're mine." But did Joseph do that?
Not at all.
No. What he did, and unfortunately we don't have time to go through the whole account, he tests them. I mean, Joseph is so wise.
He is.
At this point, he really wants to see what they're made of.
He wants to see if they've grown or matured to a good character themselves.
Right. And remember, I mean, his oldest brother at this point must be, I don't know, I would say around 60 years old.
Mm.
At least in his 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's 10 brothers
That's
older
right.
than him, and he's
That's
40.
Right.
So these are not young kids. And they have no idea that this is Joseph. And
right.
he tests them. We don't have time to get into all that. But he is trying to find, and he sees that there is growth in them. And that there's a little bit of there's remorse for what they did. And they realize, they remember, because he gives them a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
They remember what they did to him. And the interesting thing is that they don't know that Joseph is Joseph.
Right.
Because he is speaking to them through an interpreter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he's speaking to them through an interpreter. They have no idea he understands what they're saying. So they're having conversations between them in front of Joseph. He understands everything that's going on. And it's just not letting on until the right time. So let's read that last paragraph. It goes from the bottom of page 4 to the top of page 5, because this is what Joseph does in relation to the whole circumstance. Heather, did you want to read?
Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So
dismayed
were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me," and they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into
Egypt?
Egypt.
Yeah.
And now do not be distressed or angry with yourself because you sold me here, for God sent me before to preserve life from the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years which in there will be neither plowing or harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler of all the land of Egypt.
Okay, Heather, stop right there for a minute, because we really, really want to talk about this a little bit, and we want to get that song in. But it's amazing, again, that Joseph, when he finally reveals himself to his brothers, is not harboring that bitterness.
He's not.
At all.
He's screaming and saying, "Come closer, hug me, I'm your brother."
And they're like, man, talk about a near-death experience. You know, they all just had one, because they realized how close it was that they came to, Joseph could have in an instant just had them, their lives ended.
Mm-hmm.
He had the power to do that. It's interesting, they didn't have the power and they tried to do it to him. He had the power and he didn't do it to them.
Right.
And his whole response to them is, "You meant it for evil. God meant it for good."
What a quality. What an integrity. What a vision.
Right. You didn't send me here. God did.
Amazing.
I went through all kinds of experiences to get to the point where I could preserve life. And then he says, this is how far Joseph goes. Then he says, "Not only did God send me here to preserve life, but you guys are going to come live here with me. Go back.
Get dad.
Bring him back here. You guys are going to live in the land of Goshen. I'm going to take care of you because I was sent here to preserve life.
And there'll be plenty of food for you.
And that's also going to be Jesus' attitude. It is his attitude and the attitude of his followers. Everything we went through is worth it because it resulted in the blessing of all the families of the earth.
And that blessing, in Jesus' case and in Joseph's case, was freely given. Yes. Didn't have to be. Didn't come out of being treated well.
Or being made to.
Right. It came out of the desire to serve God and to not carry the bitterness in their heart. Jonathan, we want to get that last song in. Again, this is a song that that Joy wrote for the camp. It was the theme song for the week, and it's about Joseph himself. So we're going to listen to our room full of campers and counselors singing this theme song of the camp called Joseph.
Waiting to share all the dream that he saw, and not guessing their meaning, their feeling thereof. Not a dream where they taught him, despising him more for the dream that he spoke of, for the coat that he wore. Thrown in a pit, he was sold as a slave. He was 17 then, and he felt so afraid. And trusted with all that Potiphar owed, he was blessed by his God for the good things he sowed. He was strong in the lure of temptation he faced, all not sin against God, and he ran from that place. Falsely accused in the prison they found,
amazing. Fred, what's our time? What do we got left for time here? About 5 minutes. Good. Perfect. So, we have taken some time and looked at portions of the life of Joseph. We're beginning to wind down. I want to give some of the young folks, if they feel up to the challenge, an opportunity to just maybe share one or two things about Joseph's life that they think that they can carry with them. We'll throw that out as a general question. Would any of you guys like to, just as we begin to wrap up the program, just let us know, what is it about Joseph's life that impressed you from studying his life this week? Anybody?
His attitude and all of his positiveness and his faith toward God.
Okay, so he had a really, really good attitude. And attitude is only tested when things go bad. And Joseph had a lot of periods of years where things went bad. So that's a, Gabrielle, that's a good observation. Just, he had a great attitude, and that attitude was based on his faith toward God. Anything else? Jonathan, what is there that impresses you about Joseph from this week of studying?
Not taking any credit for himself. Always giving the honor to God. When he, like you mentioned so many times, could have been the perfect time for him to make himself look good.
Mm-hmm.
That humility is just great,
it's pretty amazing.
Great quality.
And the temptation to take the credit himself would have been very, very easy to fall into, especially standing in front of Pharaoh. This is your shot. This is your chance. You could be the man, but he doesn't do that. Joy?
Yeah, I think the lesson of the lid, that no experience has to be my prison. And so there's no ceiling on that prison, because God is the limit, not the experience.
Okay, so the lesson of the lid is an important lesson in this whole thing. And just putting things in perspective to realize what's important and what's not. So Joseph was a great example of priorities as well.
Another word that we didn't get to was legacy. He left a legacy because of who he was.
Okay. And he left it because he was given one.
Exactly.
Was given it. And that happens to us all the time, Jonathan. We're given things, but we maybe don't take advantage of them. We don't use them as we ought. Joseph did. He was given an amazing legacy with an amazing promise, and based on that, was able to pass on an amazing legacy as well.
Started from his great-grandfather all the way down to him till that point.
Mm-hmm. So, it's kind of sad. All the kids are filing out of the studio because there's so many of us. We have to clear out for the next program. I would have loved to get a group goodbye, but I guess we couldn't do that. No, they've got to go.
Yeah, yeah.
But they did an awesome job.
They sure did.
And part of our legacy that we've received, Jonathan, is we've been given the ability to talk about the scriptures and share that with you folks listening out there. And working with the kids and working with the environment where you can teach them things like this is part of what we want to do.
That's it. Hey, and there's a lot of things that Joseph pictures Jesus, or Jesus is pictured through Joseph's life, and a lot of things that really I appreciated. the music's on.
For another time.
Yes.
Folks, we hope you've enjoyed being with us this morning, talking about Joseph, God's wise leader. What kind of man was Joseph? Joseph was a man of extraordinary integrity and faith. It came out at every turn in his life, and he always gave credit to God because he knew the promises of God, that all the families of the earth would be blessed, and he knew that by God's grace he was a part of making that happen. What an example. For Jonathan and Rick and company, this is Christian Questions. Until next week, what kind of man was Joseph? Think about it.